Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. On this episode of Ira's Everything Bagel, I talk with Charlie Scheidt, whose powerful new book, Inheritance, Love, Loss, and the Legacy of the Holocaust, explores family memory, silence, and the lasting legacy of the Holocaust. Raised among Holocaust survivors, yet surrounded by unspoken trauma, Charlie spent decades wondering about the stories his family could never bring themselves to tell. When his mother finally revealed a hidden cache of family papers, it sparked a journey, one that would eventually lead Charlie and filmmaker Kat Rohrer across Europe to retrace his family's footsteps through Germany, Austria, and France. And what they discovered was a remarkable story of survival, loss, resilience, and the enduring power of memory. Inheritance, Love, Loss, and the Legacy of the Holocaust by Charlie Scheidt with Kat Rohrer is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, and all the usual places. And you can follow Charlie on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And Charlie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Why did you decide to write a book on the Holocaust? There's so many books out there. Yours was deeply personal, but there have been many personal books on the Holocaust. What motivated you to write this book?
It all started in 1988 when my mother, weeks before she died, told me about a trove of papers and documents that she had saved and had hidden behind a lot of junk in the armoire in her bedroom. She said, I might be interested in taking a look at them, but that she wanted me to know that in the process of throwing out the junk, that these were family documents I might find interesting. That was the beginning of a long, that's almost 40 years ago, process of coming to terms with what she had bequeathed to me. I spent 20 years peeking into it, being overwhelmed by everything I found, but also fascinated and intrigued by people I'd never heard of, by places I never knew my family had a connection with. And it was a 2009 visit to Frankfurt, the city that my parents came from and that they had never taken me to, that convinced me I needed to deal with this history, both for them, for the generation before that, mine, for myself to understand the world in which I grew up, for my children and grandchildren and future generations, but also to tell the story about refugees. This is, after all, a story about refugees and what they go through. And it's written, all these letters are written in first person and immediate. They're not written for a third party. They're not written for history. They are the true stories of people who are refugees fleeing for their lives. And at a time when increasingly around the world, refugees are demonized and ostracized and othered, it is a story that I wanted to share. These are stories that need to be told, and these are voices that need to be heard. I became convinced of that really a dozen years ago.
I think the irony, too, is you partnered with someone who has an interesting background as well, Kat Rohrer. How did the two of you get together?
Fortunately, right around the same time that I came to the decision that I visited Frankfurt for the first time, and that I came to the decision that I wanted to deal with the nearly 1,000 documents that I had inherited, Kat was on a video shoot at my company, and I happened to overhear her translate a German document for the rest of the video team. And I had come to the conclusion that I needed somebody who spoke German to work with me. Even though German was my first language, I grew up in a German Jewish refugee community. And I spoke German fluently, I still do. But I needed to work with somebody to deal with 1,000 documents. I couldn't do it on my own. And fortunately, when I approached her and asked her, would she be interested? She said, yes. And that was the beginning of our cooperation. And you're absolutely right, Ira. She comes from a very different side of the Holocaust. Her grandfather was a committed Nazi. And she and I had conversations. And I simply told her that I do not believe that the sins of the father, or a grandfather in this case, have anything to do with who you are in the present and what you believe. And in fact, she and her family have dealt with the legacy of the Holocaust from the other side, from the guilt and the responsibility, not from the victim side.
So you were,
and we became good friends.
Yeah, and you were the one that broke the ice, so to speak, by indicating that you were not holding her responsible for the sins of parents or grandparents.
Correct. Yeah. In this case, grandparents.
Right.
In her case, grandparents.
Right.
So she is third generation. I'm second generation.
When the two of you got together, because her background is in filmmaking, was that at, when you said you met him at the business, that was Roland Food?
Yes, it was.
Okay. When the two of you got together, how did you divide the labor, in a sense, the division of labor? Was she looking at certain elements, you were looking at others? How did that work, that partnership?
At the time that we started working together, I relied on her mainly to really focus on figuring out all these documents, all these letters. Because I was busy running Roland Foods and raising my family, and I really didn't have the time to devote to it. So she did a lot of the legwork at that point. I, of course, helped, and I was involved. And gradually, she also started doing things on her own initiative, pursuing leads, pursuing ideas. She is a great sleuth, it turns out, not only as a filmmaker and an excellent storyteller and an excellent eye for situations, so that the division of labor sort of evolved naturally. And we took our first trips together. The first trip was in 2016, and that was after I had sold the company and retired.
How did you decide on, when you decided to write the book itself, was there a division of labor in that as well? In other words, did you tackle certain chapters? Did she co-write it or gave you feedback as you were writing it yourself? How did that work? Again, the book is called Inheritance, Love Loss, and the Legacy of the Holocaust.
We did not divide the writing that way. I didn't, since English is is more of my language than hers. And she, I don't think we said earlier that she grew up in Vienna. She speaks fluent English and has spent a lot of time in the U.S. But the writing was more left to me. But it was a cooperative effort, and she helped, and some other people helped organize all the material, so as to figure out how to put together the story, because very important to me, and I would say to us, was to tell the story back in the 1930s, 1940s, and the fallout, the family fallout from the trauma and from the Holocaust. So it was that story, and also our story, the story of our trips, and the story of our relationship, because it's an unlikely relationship, both in age,
absolutely,
in background, it's an unlikely friendship,
but it worked,
and yeah. It did, and it was also we both took a chance, if I may just add. You know, when we took that first trip, it was a 2-week trip that we planned. We had never traveled together. We were good acquaintances. We were not bosom buddies. But we both took a chance, and off we went. And fortunately, it worked out very well. But every time we checked into a hotel and said, and people looked at the two of us and they said, and looked at us and said, two rooms? They said, yes, two rooms, yes.
Well, also, too, I mean, kudos to you for, at your age, to travel several times to retrace and find out information about your family as well. I'm sure it wasn't easy in that sense.
It was great if you, with a great companion, and we had tough times together, very difficult times together, not interpersonal, but
no, the emotional impact, obviously. But I was thinking more just physically, that you're traveling again and again. That always takes a toll as well. But you went with a purpose, which is the important thing. Now, the Scheidt family is one element. Who is the Ballen family? Why are they connected, and how does that fill out the picture?
The Ballen family was my mother's family. Her maiden name is Ballen.
Okay.
And she also grew up in Frankfurt. And the Ballen family is a very different family from my father's. My father comes from an Orthodox Jewish background. He and his brother went to a Jewish day school in Frankfurt. Whereas my mother's family, the Ballen family, was anti-religion. It felt religion divides people. And in fact, they would not let their daughters go to religious education. The interesting thing is really that the two families became very close in the 1930s and were very helpful to each other. And we have letters going back and forth between the families who are caught in Europe.
I want to get back to your mother for a second. She told you about all these documents and letters, correspondence, that were hidden away. She never wanted to talk to you about that beforehand, before she passed away?
No, she did not. And as I recall her telling me, it almost felt like this was something that had been on her mind, that was not in the family tradition. The tradition in the family was to move on, not to talk about the Holocaust, not to talk about what had happened, to focus on the present and the future, on building a life. You know, why burden your son, yourself, with history and all the things that you had witnessed and lived through? So she had spent a lifetime really around that ethos. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think it burdened her. I think she felt a need and an importance to, you know, so to speak, with her last breath, to tell me about this and to convey its importance, and that she had made the effort to save all this stuff mm-hmm. and to hide it.
Yeah, clearly in her subconscious, there was a reason to hold on to it, even if it was hidden. So
yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
When you look at all of the documents, letters, is there one thing that stood out to you before you began to write the book and before you even began to travel and research and meet people? Was there one thing that hit you as a bolt of lightning and propelled you to make the connection with Kat, go on the trips, meet people there, find additional documentation, and write the book?
It was the overwhelming sense of mysteries and of information, of facts that I had known nothing about. I very quickly got the sense that whereas I had always thought the family had all gotten here in plenty of time and safely, that simply was not true. I also very quickly learned that so much of the family that I grew up with had gotten here in the last, you know, as I said before, in the nick of time, but also that there was family that has not made it and that had not been lucky. And the role of luck, of just good fortune, was overwhelming. And to put that in context and to understand that.
As a matter of luck and timing, clearly, as well.
Yes, and some of the timing is a function of luck.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding also the reason for decisions with hindsight mm-hmm. seem like bad decisions, stupid decisions. But it's so hard to put yourself in the shoes of somebody running for their lives with nothing but rumors, misinformation, disinformation to go on mm-hmm. and trying to make the best decisions that they can in such difficult situations.
You had, obviously, before you went through the papers and your mother told you about them, you obviously had a certain working knowledge on education about the Holocaust on some level. So you were aware of it. When you went through the documents and you saw all of this, did you turn to anybody in particular, not necessarily a Holocaust scholar, but someone who had maybe written a book on the Holocaust and said, look what I have found. I've got to go on this quest, discover more about my family, the times, what happened, etc.?
I read very widely, both factual to educate myself in greater detail about what was going on in France, what was going on in Holland, what was going on in Germany, because things changed. You know, what was true one year was not, or one month even, was not true the next month. So that I needed to put my family story in that context, in that larger context. I also read quite a few books of family memoirs, but I can't say that there was one source or one person who I relied on in particular. I relied on a great many people in the acknowledgments. I name as many of them as I could possibly remember. It was an accumulation of all this information that really made me decide to tell the story and to tell it with context.
Right. How did you decide on the organization of the book? That must have been a little bit of a challenge too, how you wanted to approach it, how you wanted to organize the various chapters.
The chapters are organized more or less chronologically, and the challenge was how to tell the story of two families, because for most of the book, it's two separate storylines. They're in different places, and different parts of the family are in different places. So that was a challenge, and then how to integrate our travels and our discoveries in the historical in story.
When you were traveling and meeting people, and you met a lot of interesting people, was there one person that stood out, or who stood out to you and to Kat as the most significant? I'll use the word find, but you know what I mean by find, the most significant treasure trove of information and connection.
Well, a couple of people quickly come to mind, Ira, and that is a very good question. So the first person who comes to mind is on the first day of our first trip, we happened to go at the end of the day to the Montessori school that my cousin in Amsterdam had attended. And it was after this the children had been dismissed, the door was locked, a teacher happened to walk out. I asked if I could please go in and see the school, and my cousin had attended the school. She said, "Well, let me see if a teacher is here who's written about the Jewish children who attended the school." And lo and behold, he was there. And he gave us all the time we wanted. He had written a book about the children, and in his book is a document written by my cousin, and was happened to be included in his book. So
small world, yeah. And what was the reaction of your family to the publication of the book? And it may not be immediate family, maybe more extended family, but what was the general reaction to it?
Well, it's only been a few weeks, and so far there's nothing been no blowback.
Oh, very good. Okay. But I would imagine that it could give some of the members of your family insight into you as well by the way you wrote the book.
So far, they haven't challenged me on it or called me names.
No, they won't do that. But I think it would give a broader picture of you as a parent or grandparent or an uncle by the fact that you wrote this book. In other words, the quest that you went on.
I think there's a lot of appreciation on their part for the work that has gone into this. And it's been very rewarding, actually. So and I think, you know, I did it for them, I did it for myself, and I did it for a wider audience. And I think maybe what you're driving at, I also decided to tell about some aspects of the family history which are problematic. Mm-hmm. And before doing so, I did talk to them about including that. And they were fine with it. And in fact, I think they appreciated all the work that went into it. And I've tried to be very fair to the problems that I discovered by saying I can't put myself in the shoes of somebody right at that time, at that place. Right. But I can say from the outside, this is the way it looks.
Last question before I let you go. What would you like readers to take away from your book, from reading your book?
History does not repeat itself, but history can teach us what to focus on, what to notice, and what patterns emerge. And this is a story of refugees, German Jewish refugees. That is what they happen to be, but they can be any kind of refugees, and they can be any kind of Jewish refugees in any time and place.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Charlie Scheidt. He's author with Kat Rohrer of Inheritance, Love, Loss, and the Legacy of the Holocaust, published by Rutgers University Press. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, and all the usual places. And you can follow Charlie on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And Charlie, thanks for being on the show.
Ira, thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely. And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.